Thank you, Lord Jesus. I know that we have a congregation up in the restroom over there, but let me ask those that are still here. Who's here for the very first time tonight? You've not been in any one of these meetings. Quickly, wave your hand at me. Well, God bless you. Good to have you with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, here's a little advice for you, a word of advice. Just act like everybody else. Nobody knows the difference. Amen. You've got to understand something, that on the 23rd of October last year, 2016, we came to visit Pastor Bob on a Sunday morning, and he saw us on the front row down here, and he asked Brother Charlie, can you ask them if they can preach tonight? And I said, yes, we can, and I was there that Sunday night, and then we were there, you know, really we went back and we were having some fellowship, and he said, what are you doing Wednesday night? I said, nothing. He said, well, want to come back Wednesday night and preach? I said, yeah, would love that. And, you know, then Wednesday night he was standing down here and he called me up after the meeting. He said, what are you doing Sunday night? I said, well, nothing. And I've been doing nothing ever since. That was about what? That's like 6 months ago, going almost probably on to 7 months ago. So, and you've got to understand, this has been every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, except for maybe three or four over Christmas. And so you've got to understand, a lot of these folks that are here, they've been coming. They don't miss a meeting. They don't miss a Wednesday, they don't miss a Sunday, they're here. And you know, when you get under the spout and you are constantly under the spout, then and you get filled up and you come to the next meeting, you know, just a little drop just causes the overflow. Hello. So you look at people and go, you know, why are they so happy? They always come in, they're always so happy. Well, you know, I'm sure there are some people that are happy before they get to church, but then others are not. But when they come and sit in the meeting, then a little drop of the anointing and suddenly they're happy again. Amen. Now you might be here for the first time and you might be dry as a bone. You might look like you come from Arizona. Hello. But if you hang out a little while longer, you'll get filled, you get saturated, you get full of joy. Got to understand, a lot of these folks, they're drinking. That's what they're doing. They're drinking. Like they did on the day of Pentecost. They're drinking of the new wine of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can't hang out with God and be dead. I said, you cannot hang out with God and be dead. You can't go into, you know, 20 days of fasting and praying with God and then come out the other side depressed. It doesn't happen. You don't hang out with God and get depressed. It's impossible. It's impossible. He's the author of joy. Hello. Amen. The Bible even says that they looked at the disciples and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they could see, hey, these boys, they've been hanging out with Jesus. Hello? Obviously, something was different about them. Amen. We should be the happiest people on the block. People should look at us in the world and say, how come you're so happy? How come you're so blessed? Why are you never down? Why are you never depressed? Why are you never worried like everybody else? Amen. How many here this evening have come down from the mountain? Quickly, just wave your hand at me. All the mountain people, stand up quickly. These are the Eagle Mountain people. Look at them. Ah, there's some more over here. You're not friends with them, huh? You will be before the meeting's over, I promise you. God will get you drunk and get them drunk and you think you're friends, been friends for life. Amen. I'm just teasing, okay? I'm just teasing. I just want to know why those that have just come from the mountain, why did you take such a long time to come down out of the mountain? Amen. We've been here like almost 7 months, you know. I'm sure when you mention the word Calvary Cathedral, I'm sure everybody knows what that is. Amen. Hallelujah. But hey, better late than never. And I mean, I know the regulars and I know those that are here for the first time. And I will say this, I'm honing in on you. Some people are like, oh my God, I got to go to the restroom quickly. It's closed for renovation. The toilets don't work. I'm just kidding. All right. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'm going to read one scripture, share a few things, and then lay hands on people. Who needs laid hands on people? Who needs hands laid on them people? I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Because I'm trying to work out myself. Amen. I'm telling you, it's very hot in the house. I feel the heat of the Holy Ghost. And I do feel a lot woozier tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else out there feel a little woozy? Anybody else out there feel the heat of the Holy Ghost? It's like turn up the air conditioner, you know what I mean? But that doesn't help, amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49 says, this is Jesus speaking, he says, He says, and behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you. Listen to this carefully, folks. We as believers have been promised the Holy Spirit. We have been promised the Spirit of the living God. As a believer, we are carriers of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same one, lives on the inside of us. Therefore, we have such a creative force on the inside of us. If we get a revelation of who the Holy Spirit is and what He's done and what He's doing today on the inside of us, let me tell you what, it would cause us to walk and live and talk in a totally different manner. Hello? When you begin to speak things by the Spirit, you will speak things into circumstances and into situations. And let me tell you what happens. When you talk by the Spirit into something, and God has ordained that to be yours, but it hasn't materialized yet. Let me tell you what God does. It'll freeze. It'll stop. It'll not go any further. Are you listening to me? Until God releases it into your hands. But you have to speak these things by the Spirit. And let me say this. When you speak things by the Spirit, it's not something that you sat down and had to work out and calculate with your calculator and write a few things out to try to get the words down and, oh, that's not right. Listen, when you speak things by the Spirit, they will come out of your inner man and they'll come out of your mouth just like that. Boom. And you'll speak them by the Spirit. I mean, I've spoken things about our life and ministry by the Spirit that, I mean, I take a step back and go, did I just say that? And then I go straight to God and say, well, that was by the Spirit, so what are you going to do about it? Because if it's by the Spirit, I can't do anything by it, but God can. Are you listening to me? God can. When we left West Palm Beach about a year and a half ago, I can't remember. It's just everything is a blur, but anyway, now especially, but anyway. We got blessed with that truck that we have, and then we were believing God for a fifth wheel, and we went and found one, the exact one we wanted, and a week, well, 3 days later, the salesman calls me up and says, "Do you want this fifth wheel? Is this the one you want?" I said, "Yes, that's the one we want." He said, "Well, can I start the credit application so you can come in and we can get it all filled down?" And I said, "No." I said, "I'll be there." This was like a Tuesday. I said, "I'll be there in a week and a couple of days, which will be the following Friday." I said, "I'll be there the following Friday. And I said, I'll pay cash for this vehicle." We had negotiated the price from about $70,000 down to like $50,000. It's a brand new 2016 vehicle. And I said, "We'll come in and pay cash." And I hung up the phone. I went, "Well, did I say that? Did I just say that? I don't have $50,000 in my account. Are you listening to me? I just said I'm coming in a week and a half's time, and we're going to pay cash for this." And I turned to the Lord and said, "How are you going to do it?" And you know what? He did it. Let me tell you what, 5-6 days later, we had all the money in our account, went to the bank, got a bank guaranteeing check for $50,300, walked in there on the Friday morning, put it down on the desk and said, "There's your money." And paid cash for it. But I spoke that by the Spirit. Oh, you listen to me? I spoke it by the Spirit. They kept that fifth wheel for us. And just on my name, my telephone number, they didn't even take a deposit. They said, "Can you put $500 down?" I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll put $500 down. I gave them a credit card. They didn't even take the money out of the credit card. Listen, when I put that $50,000 check on the table, the financial manager took the license plate of that new vehicle and gave it to the salesman and said, "Go and put this on that fifth wheel. This is theirs." And I looked at this thing a little confused, like, "Well, am I not supposed to get a paper one first, and then 30 days later, you know, then they'll send you one through the mail?" These guys had already registered that vehicle in my name before I had even got there to pay for it, because I had said I would be there the following Friday to pay for it, and I would pay cash. Hello. See, when God says something, let me tell you what, it happens. It happens. But we didn't hang up the phone and go, "Oh, my God, what did I just say? Oh, Jesus. Let's go get a loan at the bank or something." No. Hey, it was by the Spirit. It came out of my innermost being, came out of my mouth. I heard myself saying it, and I went, "All right, God, what's your plan? What's your plan?" It's because that Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. Are you listening to me? That third person of the Godhead, he lives on the inside of us. God said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Why? Because everywhere we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us. Hello? He said, "But tarry in the city of Jerusalem till he be endued with power from on high." So in other words, what Jesus was telling the disciples was, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells on the inside of you, which, by the way, is the promise, when he comes and lives on the inside of you, you will be endued with power. You will be endued with an anointing from heaven. You will walk in the glory, the presence, the power of God Almighty. You'll become a carrier of the anointing. You'll become a carrier of revival. You'll become a carrier of the fire of the Holy Ghost. And everywhere you go, signs and wonders and miracles will happen. Let me tell you what, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Huh. Woo. Hallelujah. The anointing that we see God pouring out upon us in these days, let me tell you what, it is nothing less than what the Holy Spirit did on the day of Pentecost. Because it's still life-changing. It's still life-transforming. I mean, people coming in one way and going out another. Hello? We cannot do anything for the kingdom of heaven without the Holy Spirit and without the anointing of God. Everything we do outside of the Spirit is not going to amount to anything. So it's better to just allow the Holy Spirit to come and say, "Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to have your way. You move, you touch the people." I mean, I look on the outside and people look okay, but sometimes when you go on the inside, it's a little different story. Are you listening to me? Hello? Some people put on their church clothes on a Sunday morning. And they clean up well. And they look good. But don't bump into them on a Monday morning. Hello? Because they look like death warmed up. Hello? It's not what we portray on a Sunday. It's what happens on a Monday. And then on a Tuesday, and on a Wednesday, and on a Thursday, and on a Friday, and on a Saturday. Really, that's where the rubber meets the road. When you're not around your family that are believers with you, what are you going to do on a Monday morning when you wake up and all hell breaks loose? Great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than an overcomer. Hallelujah. This week is going to be a week of victory and breakthrough. We're going to bust the devil in the head this week. Hallelujah. Devil, you come along and try to attack me or attack my family. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make it all about Jesus this week, and we're going to go and kick the devil's butt. Hello. Because we're going to decree and we're going to declare this word, and we're going to find the sick, the weary, the beaten up, the tired, those that are on the way to hell, and we're going to give them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might even cast out some devils. Hallelujah. There's some spirits that need to come out of some people, if you know what I mean. Some of them are religious, but that's another message all by itself. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, what do? Do I just keep prodding and poking at people and trying to push you into the river and push you in the river? Here's what I want to do. I want to get you in the river and hold you down until all you can breathe is Jesus. Hello. Some people just need to get in the river and drown in the river of the glory of God. I'm telling you. People say, well, let's get into the river. No, I'm not getting into the river. I'm already in it. I can't get in the river when I'm in it. I got in the river many, many years ago and never got out. Hello. And I can tell you right now, there's enough Christians that are walking the bank with life preservers. Trying to throw you a life preserver. Come on, grab a hold of this life preserver. I'll pull you to safety. I'll pull you out the river. You grab a hold of that, you'll be drawn to dry places. Oh, you listen to me. End up walking on the side of the river until some crazy albino African comes back in town and prods you and pushes you back in. Hello? It's me I'm talking about. Amen. Who's the albino African he's talking about? I told one lady here from the church, I said, go tell your son there's an albino African that's preaching down at the church and he wants to meet you. And she told me today, she said, I told my son that. And he said, Mom, that doesn't even make any sense. An albino African doesn't make any sense. What is he talking about? I suppose for some, seeing is believing. Hello? Born in Africa, live in America, that makes me an African-American. White-skinned albino. Period. Hello. And proud of it. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, we are what we are. There's nothing we can do to change that. Hello? I can spend days in the sun, but when that all peels away, I'll be white. I am what I am. I is what I is. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hunger, thirst, desperation, determination. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she had to press through the crowd to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. She had to push people aside and squeeze in. If I can just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, that's all she wanted to do. Just touch the hem of the garment. I'll be made whole. Sometimes we got to push through our problem, our situation, through religion, through tradition, through friends that try to hold you back from pressing into the things of God. You've got to press past all of that and say, if I can just touch the hem of the garment of Jesus, if I can just have an encounter with God Almighty, just one glimpse of His glory, just one touch of His hand, I will never be the same again. And that's what we did back in the 90s, and I can tell you right now, we're never the same, and we're continually pressing in and continually contending for the things of God. Why? Because God has so much more for us. He's not done yet. I said He's not done yet. Who knows what God's going to raise up out of these meetings? There could be another Catherine Kuhlman, another Billy Graham. Hello, there could be a great man or woman of God that God raises up out of these meetings that takes you all over the world to another nation, bringing revival, shaking a whole nation for Jesus. Who knows what God's going to do? Hello. Some of you still have a lot of life in you. Some of you can go. Some of you can do. Amen. I don't put anything past God. He takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Hello. When I first read that scripture, I thought, my God, I'll be foolish for God if it confounds the wise. Amen. I just want to do whatever God wants done. I don't have a plan. That's why when Pastor Bob said, are you not doing, what are you doing Wednesday night? I said, nothing. He said, what are you doing Sunday night? I said, nothing. Then he said, what are you doing Wednesday night? I said, nothing. The reason why I had nothing was I didn't have a plan because God didn't give me one. The reason why God didn't give me one because He knew I was going to be here. Hello? Now, I could have booked myself up anywhere, but that would have been my plan. Amen. I'd much rather do God's plan. Come on now. I'd much rather do His plan. Because His plan results in blessing. His plan results in provision. His plan results in the anointing of God flowing and touching the hearts and lives of people and setting people free. I'd rather be doing that than just another meeting somewhere. Come on now. God has a plan and a purpose for everyone in the house. If everyone in the house could catch the fire of revival tonight, let me tell you what, we'd see a full-blown revival just within weeks. Boom, this whole area will be ablaze with the fires of revival. Hello? I believe this, and I'm going to begin to wrap this up. I believe that the army of God that God's raising up are just ordinary people. Hello? Some might not have even gone through Bible school. What? Go read Acts chapter 9. Saul on the road to Damascus. He didn't spend 3 years in Bible school. Straightway he began to preach Christ. People were amazed and bewildered and confused. But he spoke by the Spirit, by the power of Almighty God. Are you listening to me? That's what we need. Bible school is a great thing. If you can go there and you have a plan and you're focused on the things of God. But some people go to Bible school looking for the call. Oh, I think if I go to Bible school, God's going to call me. No. Doesn't work like that. Hello. You can be lying on the floor, drunk in the Holy Ghost, and God says, you called. I did. No, you called. I did. No, you, I'm calling you. Get up and go to Africa. And I'll be rubbing my hands saying, God, thank you for bringing me to America. I'll get to live in this great country called Texas. Hallelujah. Land of the free, home of the brave, and the people of the hee-haw. Yeah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm getting it all down. I can tell you right now, you'll come back now, you hear? See, it's there. It's beginning to live on the inside of me, man. Hey, I figured this, if anything goes down in the nation, it would be better to be standing shoulder to shoulder with a Texan. Because you might be standing shoulder to shoulder with a Floridian, and the only thing they want to do is run to Canada. Because that's where they come from. Amen. Glory to God. Anyway, don't get me started on all that stuff. You keep leading me astray. I don't understand why you keep doing that. Allow me to stay focused. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to see great revival shake Texas. I believe we're going to see great move of the Spirit of God shake this great state of Texas. I believe we're going to see a great move of God shake America. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Before there's a great awakening that happens across this nation and around the world, and when I talk about a great awakening, I'm talking about when you're walking down the street or you're walking into a shopping mall and people actually come to you and see Jesus in you and say, please, can you tell me about Jesus? I've got to have Jesus. I've got to get saved right now. They don't even know who you are. But they see Jesus in you. They're drawn by the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe is going to happen in these last days. We're going to see people getting saved. And it's not going to be so much about what we say. It's going to be because we're walking out there full of the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God's flowing out of us. Well, you listen to me. But before that happens, God's got to do something with the church. Because it's the church that God's going to use in these last days. It's you. It's the people of the church that God's going to raise up in these last days that are going to be full of the Holy Ghost, that are going to go and shake whole nations for Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those. I said I'm one of those. We made a commitment many, 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 many years ago that we will not step down. We will not back off the move of God. We will not compromise the move of God in any way. Hello. We're having more fun right now in church than we've ever had before. I remember the days before revival. Then I don't want to remember them. Hello. Now, I'm not saying that God didn't move, because he always did, but not like he did in revival. Not like he's been reviving us and setting us free. And he's still doing it today. He's still moving by his Spirit. He's still doing what he did back in the 90s. I just believe it's a deeper river that's flowing. That's all I believe. I believe it's a deeper river. Because there's going to be some deeper things that are going to come out by the Spirit in these days we're living in and the days that lie ahead that's going to transform whole nations. I'm telling you right now. God's on the move. God's doing something big. And we're right under the spout. And when God pours his Spirit out upon this land, we're not going to have to look for it because it'll be poured out on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did I share my testimony already? Have I done that? Tonight? No? Sorry. I don't know where I was tonight, but I was somewhere. See, I don't have a note, so I don't know where I was. If I was in point number 3 or point number 4, I have no clue. I don't even know when the benediction needs to be spoken. Or people's lost rites, I'm not sure how to do that. Hallelujah. I was sitting on the front row. I looked at my wife and said, I hope I get a message soon. She looked at me like, huh? I said, I hope I get a message soon. Because I don't really have anything here. I thought I'd just get up and share my testimony. And that wasn't even what I did. Amen. Hallelujah. Suppose the Holy Ghost is up to something. I'm sure he is. Amen. This cowboy that God has connected with us and myself, and I spoke to him Saturday. He was coming back from Canada, and he said, so what are you preaching Sunday night? I said, I don't know. He said, what, you haven't got a message? I said, no. I said, I'll probably get it when I walk on the platform. So he just laughed because, you know, church doesn't work like that. Oh, you listen to me. People don't do that. I know ministers that spend hours every week, you know, going over the message and going over the message and going over the message, preaching in front of the mirror. I mean, just looking to make sure everything's, you know, sweet. It's all done perfectly. And then the Holy Spirit shows up and says, hey, can I say something? Oh, no, I've just got a point number three to go. You can wait a while. Hello? More times than not, the Lord doesn't even tell me what I'm going to minister on until I get there. I was walking out to go preach one night in our church in St. Louis, and I had a message, walking out to go preach Sunday morning. The Lord said, don't preach that, preach this. And I froze. I went, what? What's that? I looked around, everybody's eyes were closed, hands were raised, so I quickly backpedaled off the platform, got behind the drums, and I quickly found the passage of Scripture, and I looked at it, and I said, God, I never preached on that before. He goes, good. I said, can you give me a week? He said, no, preach it now. Listen, that message was so amazing, I went and bought the tape. I said, oh my God, I've got to listen to that again. That blew me away. Hello. You know, when a preacher's blown away by his own message, you know God's involved. Hello. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know what I got a feeling, brother? I think God's going to move the mountain tonight. I hope he just casts this mountain into the river.
This is not all of
them. Huh?
This is not all of them.
Well, where are the rest of them?
They live in different places.
Oh, well, then we can deal with them, can we? Hallelujah. Well, maybe the rest of you can get so drunk you can take it back to them. Amen. Hallelujah. How you doing, sir? Focusing on you. How you doing, sir? This is good wine we're drinking, isn't it? How you doing now? Huh? You're doing good. Isn't it funny how people wonder if this is really necessary? You know, is it really necessary that we have joy? Yeah, look around. I said, look around. And you know what's so wonderful about God? He never hurt us. He only blesses us. Amen. Laughter's like a medicine. When you get full of joy, there comes a healing. There comes a peace. You get happy. Your wife gets happy. No, I'm not picking it on him. I'm just using him as an example. I mean, it's anybody and everybody. I bet you there's some ladies sitting here tonight going, my God, I wish my husband would get joy. See, you don't live with a man or you don't live with a lady. So, you know, people thinking, my God, I wish my husband would get that. Now, please don't think, oh, he looked at me when he said that. No. I'm just trying to look around at everybody. With an uplifted hand, how many of you men would love to see your wife drunk and full of the Holy Ghost and full of joy? Come on. Nothing wrong with that. You should want your wife to be drunk and full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, with an uplifted hand. How many of you wives would want to see your husband drunk and full of the Holy Ghost? That wasn't very nice, honey. Wasn't very nice at all. She put both her hands and her foot up. It wasn't very nice. Just remember who has the microphone right now. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't the Lord good? I said, isn't the Lord good? Isn't he good? Isn't he good? Huh? Oh, you feel that? You feel the Holy Ghost, huh? You do? It's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. Oh, why don't we do this? Let's have the mountain come out here. And the two strays over there. Come out here.